corporate homie.
Happy New Year.
Resultsville.
Resultsville.
I've given myself too much credit.
A group of my girlfriends and I with copious amounts of wine.
So a little different than the friendship contract on the Housewives of Atlanta.
Nice girls don't get the corner office.
I think the homies are well on their way. On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Would you hire you?
Just give me the damn ball.
I wasn't as pleased with how everything turned out. A football coach that forgets to win football games. I'd like to run the United Way. I ran the United Way campaign.
You've lost credibility.
What up, homies?
Hey, homies.
We are back for another episode of Corporate Homie.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Whoop, whoop. Today, we're going to talk about, would you hire you?
Would you promote you?
Would you bonus you?
I would always bonus me.
I would always promote me. Like, I bet on D. Liggins every time.
I'm like Keyshawn Johnson. Just give me the damn ball. Put me in charge. Put me in, coach.
Win with me. What? But for real, today's episode is about your self-evaluation or your self-assessment at your job, which is something that most of us end up doing on an annual basis.
The end of the year is when most companies evaluate the performance of their employees. It's a time to determine at what level have you met the objectives of your job expectations. And for those homies who are out there saying, my job doesn't require me to do a self-evaluation, you should always do a self-evaluation, whether your organization requires you to do one or not. It's a great exercise.
And I think that's a good point, because I remember one year I actually didn't do a self-evaluation. It was almost like a test for me to see if anyone noticed if I didn't do one. And then I wasn't as pleased with how everything turned out. And no one ever said anything to me about the fact that I didn't do a self-evaluation. So I think that it also just is one of those reminders that no one cares about your career as much as you do. Your career is just that. It's yours. So you can't expect your manager or your boss to remember all the greatness or goodness about you, or even some of the challenges that you had. So if you think that your manager remembers that your mom was sick or that you had a great success that year, they probably don't.
And then sometimes I've had the pleasure of having lazy managers that will literally just cut and paste all the great things I said about myself and my self-evaluation into the actual review. So that's a bonus too.
So, right. So give them some good information to work with. And I will say, now that I actually do a number of evaluations, I often find myself sitting down without enough information to evaluate people. And I am often very grateful when someone has taken the time to give me a very thorough self-evaluation, especially if I think that it is actually an honest one when I'm ready to evaluate them. So just remember that the self-evaluation process is a time to remind your manager of your development, your accomplishments, and more importantly, your goals. But it can also be a time to remind your manager of some discrepancies. If you have a different view of how something happened, it's a chance to sort of tell your version or tell your side of the story as well.
That's exactly right. First thing you have to do is, when you're looking at doing your self-evaluation, is remember, like, what is the bottom line? So basically, you know, to just use a football analogy, are you Charlie Strong?
Charlie, do you believe it's over?
Well, Brian, I've not been told, but I just told our players that I look forward to coming back and making sure that we get this thing on track.
Coach, if it does go the wrong way, how would you want the fan base to remember your legacy here?
Well, I don't want them, Dennis, to look at the win and losses.
Or are you Nick Saban? Charlie Strong did a whole lot right at Texas.
Right. So I guess the first thing, if you're going to do the whole Charlie Strong, Nick Saban, and, you know, if you homies know, if you're listening to us, we love a good sports analogy, is like are you pleased with your own performance, right? Do you think you did a good job? I think the Charlie Strong is such a great example because one of the things that happens to most of us when we're being evaluated is that you are stuck with primacy and recency. So whatever is like the last thing that happened to you at the end of the year, people remember. So no one like the Charlie Strong, you're getting fired on a loss. No one gets fired after like the big W or the big win. So you want to know, like, am I pleased with my own performance? You know, do I want to get promoted off of what I think I just did? Do I think I'm at status quo or not? So like B said, let's start first. Charlie Strong did a lot right at Texas. What are some of the right things that he did? Like, how would you do that, B? Like, talk about his goodness.
You know, it's one reason why he's beloved in the community. He was raising strong young men to be good citizens. He had student athletes that were graduating. But that's why I said, you got to remember, what is Charlie Strong's job? To win football games. And he forgot to win football games. And that's the most important element of his job. You got to win football games. And if you're at Texas, you got to beat OU and you got to win your bowl game. And in that order. And he forgot the winning part.
Right. A football coach that forgets to win football games. And so in your organization, it's sort of like, what is the bottom line of your organization? How does your organization get revenue? I find this to be so incredibly interesting, especially when people don't make the widget. So what I mean by that is, I live in Houston, so I always say that oil is the currency of the city. So if you work at an oil and gas company, the exploration and production of oil is the revenue of that company. If you're an accountant at the company, then you don't explore or produce oil. So you don't actually necessarily contribute to the bottom line, but you should, why? You're an expense item. Exactly. You're actually on the cost side of the business. You're not on the revenue side. So you should first be thinking of, how is my job in that way? And so then when you are doing your evaluation, you should be thinking about, okay, even though I'm a cost center, as I write my evaluation, what did I do to decrease costs so that we can be focused on revenue? And that's the way I should be telling my manager that I had a successful year, and couch it in the terms of the business. And I feel like this is something that people really do miss about themselves when they're thinking about if they had a good year.
Exactly. So for example, if you are at a law firm, you're winning ball games is billable hours, right? If you are an attorney. Now, I work at a financial institution, so we've got to generate revenue, loans, deposits, and fee income products. And every organization is going to keep their revenue score a little differently, but you cannot miss what you have to do there. The first thing that I do, I just want to kind of, we'll spend a few moments, each of us, talking about what we do to go through our own self-evaluation process. I've been doing this ever since I started working in corporate America in 1997. Yikes, I just told my age. But
and mine, for that matter. Cut it out.
Hashtag knock it off. So the first thing that I do is I start the year with a business plan. So the first thing I'm doing with my self-evaluation is I'm comparing the business plan and the goals that I set for myself against my performance. Ideally, this comparison should be done throughout the year at a minimum on a quarterly basis, but it also allows, you know, my leader, my manager, for her to get an understanding of whether or not I have a good understanding of how I perform. Because how you do your self-evaluation and what your leader comes up with, you should not be too far apart. You should be very much straight down the middle in terms of where you are. The key to a great self-evaluation is to highlight your performance without bragging.
You can still highlight your successes in the year. Like Bimitra said, there is an art to actually highlighting successes without bragging. And that's why I say, if you find a way to turn it back to the revenue or the job description. And so if you didn't write an actual business plan, sometimes a great tool to do is go back and pull the job description. Go back and pull your job description and see what are you supposed to actually be doing. I'm always amazed too at people. They've been in a job for 3 or 4 years and never looked back at it. How do you know you're actually, you know, meeting the deliverables? How do you know you're actually knocking the ball out the park? Because trust, your boss is looking at your job description.
And if you don't know how to find your job description, then go to your company's website and look for an open position for your title. And that's essentially your job description, is if you were looking to apply there in that particular position. So not only do you want to highlight without bragging, but you need to be honest about the skills that you have and be open to learning new skills. So you have to ask yourself some tough questions as you go through this process. What could I have done better this year? What are my strengths? How can I improve? And then, you know, develop a plan to minimize any gaps or shortcomings that you have. I always say, don't be afraid to ask for training. That shows leadership on your part to say, hey, here's an area where I'm not my strongest. I know, Demetri, you've had some success doing that, particularly early in your legal career.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So, and it doesn't even have to be something that you deem to be something deficient in, but even if you disagree, so I had some feedback sort of early in my career with something that I actually completely disagreed with. I thought the feedback was inaccurate, but instead of being in the evaluation and arguing, I just said, listen, that sounds great. I appreciate that. I found this workshop that actually focuses on this skill. Can I attend? Well, who's going to say no to you after the person just told you that was the something they thought you should work on?
Right, right. And you're coming up with a solution on developing a plan on how you can improve there. The quantitative piece is pretty easy. Did you hit your goal? Did you not? If it's a billable hour, did you hit the number or not? That's the easy part. It's the qualitative things that may not show up in your formal evaluation that you want to make sure you get out. I call it the bonus section of the self-evaluation. Did you fill in for a sick teammate? Did you volunteer for a charity event on behalf of your organization or for a client? Did you serve as an unofficial mentor for a younger employee within your organization? Did you do something that showed leadership skills, something like you ran your team's United Way campaign or put together the team to do a group to do the race for the cure, things like that?
Those are really great things to point out when you were trying to get promoted. So if you were looking to get promoted, but they haven't given you a team yet to manage, then that is when you might want to step up and say, look, I'd like to run the United Way. I ran the United Way campaign. It shows management. It shows leadership. But I would also say, in light of this, when you were doing the non-qualitative and you were thinking about that, and we'll have another episode later about sort of corporate activities, you should make sure that the things that you were pointing out are actually in line with your organization's efforts. And so the organization is always having things that they care about. They're non-qualitative things that are important to them that year. And the closer your things are aligned with the organization's, which takes us back. So now this isn't revenue-based, but it's still on their side. They're big United Way, you're big United Way. And so then you're lined back up, though it is another W in your column. So now you are into some of that Charlie Strong doing good things, making good citizens.
The other thing you want to do is you want to keep an open dialogue in the review process. So when you're actually putting together, you want to think about, you want to ask questions like, am I on track? What do you see as the next step in my career growth track? And you want to think about those things as you're writing your evaluation, because you want to get that information out to your manager so that when when she and you meet, that you'll be able to have thought about that and then see if you're on the same page. Is there anything that you think she would like to see you focus on? And then most importantly, how can you make their job easier by doing your job well?
And I always say, when you have these questions, and all of those are such great questions, actually stop talking after you ask the question so that they can answer and really be open. I mean, one of the things that I think is critically important to being promoted, to being hired, is having, Demetri and I call it being coachable, having a coachable spirit. If you ask the question and before the person can actually genuinely answer, you're asking your next question, then they know you just have canned questions and those are not actual genuine questions in your evaluation.
And that's a great point. I mean, even superstars have coaches. You know, Tiger Woods has a swing coach. Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson. You know, you have to have a coachable spirit. Dee, what are some of the things that you do for your self-evaluation process?
So I was going to take it from a little bit different perspective, since I sort of interjected throughout your process, and talk about some things I thought I didn't do well. I touched on this a little bit in the past in some of my self-evaluations, and be a little bit transparent. So when I first started doing self-evaluations, I was pretty much annoyed by them. Like you said, I didn't really want to do them. I thought, No one was reading them. I wanted to give a couple of points that I thought kept me from having great self-evaluations. And while I always received very good evaluations, when I look back now, when I was much younger, my evaluations could have been much better, which means that my bonuses probably could have been much better had I laid out some things. So one of the first things I think I always did wrong is I waited till the last minute to complete the evaluation. So we would get these emails and they would say, okay, we get them like early November, and it would say like the self-evaluation is going to be due December 15th. Yeah. And your girl would wait till like December 14th, the afternoon, or December 15th morning to start my self-evaluation. And then it was like this mad dash to compile information and really try to think about the whole year, all in the middle of the holiday season when I just got back from Thanksgiving and I'm on my way to some holiday party. It just wasn't the best way to focus. So now I know that you need to give yourself sufficient time. And one of the things I do to sort of do that is make sure that I carve out more than one day to do it, right? To try to give myself that way. Another thing I think that I did very poorly is I did never feel like I was adequately equipped with information. And so I was drawing from memory to do my evaluation. I didn't actually have hard data when I was completing it. And now one of the things that I do, and actually a woman that I mentor told me that she was doing this week, which made me feel great, is I call it the hero sheet or a performance journal or something throughout the year, where as good things happen, I write them down.
That's a great point. I do the same thing, except for I don't write them down. If I get a complimentary email from a client or somebody in leadership, I just have a folder that I throw it in there. Or if something good happens that day, I might even scribble something on a post-it note and put it in that folder and put the date on it, you know, January 19th or March 23rd. And then that way, like you said, I'm not having to work from my memory, which is incredibly difficult to do.
Yes. And then I think that folder or sheet or whatever you do, email folder, can serve twofold, because I also call it the keep you off the ledge days. So like when you're having a tough day at work, and I know you homies probably don't, but I have those days. So I have days that I go to happy hour with my friends from work. And then I have days that I want to go to unhappy hour at my, and those are the days when nobody's available for the unhappy hour. I will pull out my folder or look through my sheet and I'll be like, no, I am having a great year. Like today was not a great day, but I'm having a good day. So it can kind of serve a twofold scenario as well. The last thing I was saying, and I touched on this a little bit, is sort of laziness and lack of enthusiasm about it. And I think that really comes from one, thinking that completing the self-evaluation is just for them. And it's as much for you, right? It is very much a time for you to figure out, like, am I happy at work? Am I good right now? Do I want to be promoted? Did I do what I needed to do to get promoted? I know a lot of people in sales will figure out at the end of the year that they didn't make as much money as they thought they made when they sit down and they look back and they're actually looking. They're like, I thought I was on target to make this. I'm not, because they haven't been kind of keeping up. Not trying to, you know, to combat that laziness or lack of enthusiasm, not trying to complete it in one sitting, I try to give myself the two revenue thing. Another thing, and Mitra talked about this a little bit, is literally be honest. Like, I cannot stress enough the importance of being honest. If you know you did not have a stellar year, that you just had an okay year, it's not that you had a poor year, then if you start your evaluation with, you know, I should get the biggest bonus, I should get promoted, you've already lost the reader.
You've lost credibility.
You know, if you know that you've been out of the office because you've had personal things this year, right? You're, like I said earlier, maybe you had a loved one that was sick and you had to take a leave of absence and you were out of the office for a couple of months, or you were on maternity leave. Like if you've been on maternity leave, and I remember having this conversation with a friend, if you've been on maternity leave the last 3 years in a row or something like that, and then you come to your boss like, I'm ready to be the superstar. Maybe you have been doing superstar things, but maybe you haven't. You just need to be honest with yourself. Perhaps you have, but perhaps you haven't. I don't know, but that's the time to really be honest with yourself, because the chances are, if you've been out of the office for 9 months out of the last, you know, 36, maybe not.
Great point.
I definitely think that one of the things I think is you have to also give yourself a chance to talk about challenges and lessons that you've learned. Bimitra, what do you think is the best way to couch those in a positive manner? Because you want to share, I know I do, I want to share my challenges, but I want to do them in a way that still leaves me in a positive light.
Right. So, you know, you want to basically acknowledge, like you said, you know, where whatever lesson that you learned, where maybe you came up a little short in a particular area or you missed a mark on something, but what your game plan is to not do that again the following year or to in the next time you're in that situation. So I think that's the way you can turn it into a positive is, you know, here's how I came up short. Here's what I learned. And more importantly, here's my game plan or here's a new tool that I have to make sure that I bridge that gap and that I don't have it. So you basically turn it into an opportunity.
We hope that these tips have been helpful as you are completing your self-evaluation, self-assessments, and just to sort of summarize it or give you a quick conclusion, we would say, one, share your successes.
Share your lessons.
Share your goals or things you want to accomplish in the next year.
Be honest, but not overly critical of your own performance.
And make sure you take sufficient time to actually complete the evaluation. As always, thank you for listening. We're still so new with this and we're still figuring this out. And we really do appreciate all of you for taking time out to listen. If you are enjoying the podcast, please subscribe. Please reach out. Let us know that you're out there, that you're listening. If you have any topic that you want to hear, something that you want to touch on, you can always reach us at questions@corporatehomie.com. And then Bimitra will tell you where you can find us on social media.
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all as Corporate Homie, HOMIE, all one word. We're always Corporate Homie on each of those mediums. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hustle hard, homies.
Get you a twin. Get you another homie.